This is Neelan Parker. I am with Mr. Ken Ganaconte of the National Elections Watch, NU, which is the domestic observer group in Sierra Leone. If we could just begin by your telling me a little bit about your position and your job and the role of NU in the last elections.
Okay. Like you rightly said, I'm Ken Ganaconte from the National Elections Watch. But then the National Elections Watch, which NU, is a coalition of organizations, NGOs, international, local, and civic groups. And I happen to come from Search for Common Ground. I am the partnership coordinator for Search for Common Ground. But then in NU, I'm the vice chairperson, the National Elections Watch. National Elections Watch was set up in 2000. We actively took part in election monitoring in the 2000. And at that time, it was NDI who was actually running the affairs of the National Elections Watch. And after that, we decided to be having meetings, regular meetings. And in 2004, NDI also came and run the affairs of NU. And after that, after the elections, there were some postponed elections that we were supposed to observe, but then by then the NDI was gone, and we did organize ourselves with the civil society groups, and from contributions from some groups, we were able to monitor the remaining elections, postponed elections. And after that, we thought it fit to actually come together, have frequent meetings, begin to think of having this election to be a domestic elections owned by Sierra Leoneans, you know, to run the affairs. So by then, we had regular meetings. We even went nationwide, do consultations with other groups to actually make some sacrifice, you know, in order to ensure that we have this group being an independent group. So by 2005-06, we are working on that, and seeing the 2007 elections in the future, we decided to have structures. So we had regional structures by having regional secretaries, regional coordinators and secretaries, and also they were charged with the responsibility to have district coordinators and secretaries. So they went around in their respective regions to mobilize civil society and have structures in place. They had the district coordinators and the secretaries, you know, in big meetings, you know. And in Freetown, we also decided to have a strategic management committee we composed of some groups, especially those who had more membership. For instance, the SLTU, Sierra Leone Teachers Union, the civil society movement, SL, they were part of, they are part of the strategic management committee of Search for Common Ground, which actually housed the secretariat, was a strategic partner, and some other few groups. So NU has been decentralized, and we also went to writing a constitution. And as far as registering the National Elections Watch as a limited corporation. So by 2006 to going to 2007, we wrote a proposal to UNDP for NU to observe the local, the general elections. We were funded, and we actually observe, monitor the entire process, beginning from boundary delimitation process to voter registration, the exhibition of the voter register, onto campaigning, election day, monitoring, and even the by-elections, you know. So we monitored all those processes. And for your information, during the 2007 August elections, we filled in up to 590 or so observers, apparently to almost every polling station. There were new observers all over the place, you know, to actually observe the process. And well, our strategy, we had two strategies. One was to have an observer in every polling station. And the second was to have observers in 500 polling stations that were strategically selected by a computer so that at the end of the polls, those 500 observers in those strategic polling stations would text in SMS message into a database that was set up at the secretariat here on Battle Street at the Cypher Common Ground office so that by the end of the day, we can query those informations and have an immediate report of how the conduct of the elections looked like across the country. So we were able to do that with the assistance of NDI because they actually gave us the technical assistance. They had somebody from Washington who was with us up here to assist in that. And but by and large, the process was challenging but successful, I would say, because it gave confidence to the people, the voters, international observers, even a lot of political candidates, political parties, you know. But from the start of our monitoring, whenever we observe every process, like I say, from the boundary delimitation process, we'll come out with a report and a press release, which we will make public. You know, we'll look at the areas where we think should be improved, and we talk about the areas which we think the commission did well, the commission and other stakeholders. And for instance, during the voter registration, we observed that the distances from registration centers, you know, was too far apart, and that people, even some political parties, had to organize transportation to transport people to go and register in those places. And we understood from NEC that those centers were apparently going to be the voting centers. So we brought that up, we took that up with NEC, the National Election Commission, and at the end of the day, they actually made some adjustment by having more centers so that the distances would be reduced, you know. And of course, we also observed that some centers we are not in the right places. We are not fit to be in the communities or the places that we have established for them, the registration centers. So we also brought that up with them, you know, for security reasons, you know, and otherwise. So I mean, when some were changed, you know, and of course a lot of them were in places which were opened, you know, and we knew the elections were going to be in the rainy seasons. So there was nothing like shelter, you know. So we spoke about some of these things. And at the end of the day, I mean, they provided an appropriate center for people to vote.
What recommendations would you give for someone who is trying to manage a coalition? So different groups of domestic observers who have different resourcing, different goals to some extent. What recommendations would you give?
Actually, is to partner. You can't do these things in isolation. In the first place, observing like the kind of magnitude that we took, you know, observing every polling station, and we had 500 priority polling stations. Some of the stations were even difficult to identify. They were in very remote places. So until you work in partner with people who are living in those areas, you know, who can actually go out and look and identify those stations, then you will be able to put somebody there. So like I said, we have these structures, our decentralized structures, our district coordinator. We even have chiefdom focal people. So they are actually responsible to identify these stations all over the country. So they will go to difficult places, you know, even if they have to walk, you know, on foot.
Were there international and domestic observers in the 2007 and 2008 elections?
Yes. Of course, there were many international observers that I saw in the 2007, for very little in 2008 local council elections.
Perfect. How did you work in 2007 with the international observers?
Okay. We were working closely with NDI in the sense that NDI was managing our funds. DFID provided the funds, and NDI was managing it. And they also gave us technical support. And they also brought, NDI brought in a lot of international observers. So whenever the observers come, we'll have a session, a meeting session with them and discuss and give them information about the things that are on the ground, things that are happening, the challenges. They will ask questions, you know, we'll discuss, we'll have dinner, we'll have lunch together and discuss about the political situation in the country, the terrain, and a lot of other things that they want to know.
Did you ever work with them in the field at the polling stations?
Not really, except that we would greet each other, talk, you know, but not on the elections or observation.
Were there political party monitors as well?
Oh, yes, there are usually party agents that are stationed at the polling booths.
Mm-hmm. How did you or whoever was making the decision determine how many monitors were needed or how much monitoring was necessary?
Well, New saw that the election was going to be very competitive, and we wanted to do the most that we can do, given the available resources. So when we were writing our proposal, we actually went in for 100%, you know, observation. And we were actually funded. But then we went in for, like, very close to elections, election day monitoring activities, like the training of observers and deployment. And we forgot about the other processes leading to the polling day, like boundary delimitation, voter registration, exhibition of the register, you know, forgot about that. But however, we got funding from other agencies to be able to do that, from the Canadians, for instance, and Oxfam.
How were you assigning observers to different stations on voting day, mm-hmm. and who was informed in advance of where they would be?
Okay. Now, what we do is, we usually have what we call the national meetings, and in these national meetings, we have all the district coordinators, and all the regional coordinators, and the strategic management committee meeting at a point. But a year before the elections, we were meeting quarterly, and then close to the elections after every 2 months. 6 months to the election, every month we were meeting. We meet at a district. If we meet at Kwenadugu today, this month, the next month we meet Bombali, Kailang, Kono, as the case may be, so that even the people, the civil society in those districts, will feel our presence, will feel new. And whenever we go through our meetings, we'll have a radio discussion. We engage the district radio, community radio station. We talk about the issues that we are discussed and the challenges and what we expect of the civil society in that community. And then when we come back, we do a press release and talk about some of it. So in those meetings, the strategy during our proposal that we used was to have observers trained in their communities so that these observers will be able to vote. Because we knew that NEC was not going to allow people to vote where they did not register. So they are only going to be allowed to vote where they register. So if we have to move people from here to distance places to monitor, they will not be able to vote. So having known this, we actually recruited. We had our methodology of recruiting people from their communities so that they will not be disenfranchised, and the transport cost will also be reduced, because this was a civil society action. It was not about money. It was about volunteerism. So there was very little money for transportation and stuff like that. So it's like we had to do with the little we have and have an effective work done.
How did you overcome few resources? What strategies would you recommend to someone in those circumstances?
Yes, well, the strategy, one was that all of our regional and district coordinators, these are civil society groups. For instance, when we say you are the regional coordinator, you must be coming from a civil society group. You must have an office space. You must have some logistics, you know, that can be used by the other groups. District was the same with district coordinators. You must have an office space. You must have some few staff that can, you must have some foot soldiers that can walk around, you know, do some of the little jobs without relying on funding. And even when we go to meet in your district, you have to provide space, the meeting space. We don't have to hire a space for our meetings. So these were some of the strategies, you know, to overcome the limited fund.
How did you maintain the neutrality and independence of your domestic observers?
Yes. This was like, whenever we go to our meetings, we would talk about this. And in fact, it was part of our code of conduct, was embedded in our constitution, and it was like everybody working each other. We ensure that the districts do have their district meetings. The regions do have regional meetings, and we have national meetings in every district. And whenever we go to each district to have a meeting, we encourage other civil society members to be part of that meeting. And at the end of the day, if anything of that nature is around their community, it will come up. And immediately it comes up, we'll try to deal with it and lay it at rest.
Can you give an example of how you dealt with that?
Yes. In Kailan, for instance, the secretary, the district secretary, was partisan. We were told, and he was dismissed. In Bu, for instance, when we were mobilizing groups, in one of our district meetings, you know, district meetings will go, one person from the secretariat will go and support the district team to have meetings with civil society groups. So in one of those meetings, our mobilization meetings, It came out that the motor drivers union were partisan. They are supporting the SFPP. It came up in the meeting, so we did not encourage them to be part of our group. It also happened in Bombali. One of the secretaries was had an ambition to run for party ticket. So we were informed, you know, he was like hiding it, but it came out, he told us, and he was dismissed. So a lot of these things were coming up, and the moment we'll know. So it's like everybody was watching. People are watching each other, organizations. And that's why we don't recruit on individual basis. New is an institution. We work with groups, with civil society groups. We don't work with individuals. So when once you, Mr. A or Miss A or Miss B, you are recruited through an organization. So in case you have found wanting, it's that organization that will be responsible, not you. So those are some of the strategies that we use, you know, to ensure that we minimize the, we actually ensure that we have our independence and we don't have people being partisan.
What kind of support did you receive from the National Electoral Commission?
Yes, we about 6 months to elections. We usually have a stakeholders meeting where we'll go have meetings with other stakeholders, you know, at the NEC secretariat, and we'll discuss some of the issues, the challenges, you know, and we'll discuss about the way forward. and we were in good terms. In fact, we had the district electoral officers, their contacts, their telephone numbers. We give them theirs, ours, our district coordinator. So they were in constant touch, you know. And even with the accreditation, we ensured that we had our accreditation done on time, so that we ensure that we have our members in the polling stations. They are accredited and are prepared to be in the polling stations.
Can you think of ways that the NEC could have been more supportive, or other services that they might have provided to you that would have been helpful?
Before going to that, some of the support also we gave, like before, during the registration, I was in the Kailan district, and of course I had a vehicle. I was going around to see what was happening, and in the process, you know, NEC had some problems. They had problems with cameras, distances, so we were actually like moving some of their personnel. When we meet them, they have problems, you know. If their telephone is not working, I'll use my phone, because some of these guys did not have even top of credit cards, you know, to call. I'll call or move them to a point where they will be able to talk to their officer in Kailaho. Also, they have damaged cameras, will come and communicate, you know, to make sure that, I mean, the work is going on, you know, in the different locations. So we give all of those supportive assistance, you know, to NEC, to ensure that we have a clean election, a successful elections.
What were the overall findings of the observers in 2007 and then in 2008?
It's unfortunate I don't have a report here, but then, because we have our findings catalog there. But then we found out that of course, voter education was necessary. That was shown by a lot of void ballots. Then it also came out that there were some overvoting in some areas, because what we did at the end of the day was to collect all of the checklist and have it in our database in 2007, especially when there were some problems around, you know. So we did the problems around the results when some stations were cancelled. So we had to like get all our checklist and put it in the database, queried it, and we saw that indeed there were some overvotings in some areas, and yes, overvoting, and some of the problems also were I remember quite well, overvoting, and of course there were some skirmishes, problems in some areas, but then from the checklist we realized that some of them were immediately resolved with the intervention of the police and NEC officials. Because what we did also was to have, I didn't mention this, we had an incident reporter, district incident reporter. The district incident reporter was responsible to report every incident that would affect the outcome of the report to either the National Elections Commission, the PPRC, the police, or to NEW. One, for problem-solving mechanism, so that in the event where there is a problem which needed police intervention, you know, we'll call the police and the police will be there to solve the problem, so that will escalate and disturb the entire process. If it's something that concerns NEC, NEC will be there. They'll be called, they'll be there and ensure that things are put under control. If it's NEW, have it for our report at the end of the day. So we had this system in place, and it helped a lot, you know, because the police in some instances were called in, NEC in some instances were called in to correct some of the problems. So for these minor violences, they were, most of them were resolved by the police, you know. And the election day was generally peaceful, though tense. 2007, it was peaceful but tense.
And in 2008, what were your overall
findings? 2008, our finding was that our report is not out, so I won't talk much about it. But however, in our preliminary report, our first day report, we observed that there were violence in some places, you know, and the turnout was low, you know, voter apathy, and yes, was observed. And yes, those were some of our observations. Like I say, our report is not out yet. We're working on it, and but then at the end of the process, we'll have a report, and all of these things will be cataloged there.
Is there any advice you would offer to others about the use and management of domestic or international monitors?
In domestic observation, I think is necessary. Very important and necessary stage in the electoral process, because the civil society should be part of the governance process and should be part of the electoral process before the governance. Because whatever elections you have in a country, if it's not run free and fair, the government that will be in place will not have the blessing of the people, especially the civil society. But then if you allow civil society to participate in the process, then I think they will work together. And one of the most important thing also is that there are some issues that will be raised, that will come up during the elections, that international observers do not usually see or sense. But then with nationals, the in the first place, understand the local language, the dialects, they know their communities, they know how their people behave, you know. And we want local observers to be part of this process so that they own the process. Because when you see local observers, especially if they are in their numbers, they have their colors, they have their uniform all over the place, if that will even form a kind of deterrent to politicians that want to disturb the process, you know. And because especially when IRN was there, you know, where that the moment you're there, you want to disturb, the next moment you hear your name over the radio, that person, that official, that is disturbing at this polling station number, in social community, you hear your name over the air. And that will be all over the country, you know. So, and people will shame you. So it's like a deterrent. I mean, we're working closely with IRN, you know, and in our reports, we'll call names of people, government officials, paramount chiefs, as the case may be, as long as you are interfering with the process. Yes.
Could you talk a little bit more about this, because it's something that I haven't heard of yet. So you had an MOU with IRN News or the UN News Station to...
Well, we... During the processes, we actually had a memorandum of understanding with IRN, wherein when we have our meetings, we'll go to the radio stations and have discussions. There was a memorandum. Have discussions. And on elections day, I mean, it's natural. these people were all colleagues, you know. And we're all colleagues who've been working together. It's only that on that day we are doing the monitoring and they are doing the reporting. You know. So they will come to our office, they will talk to some of our people, you know. I mean, they see what's happening, so they talk it. I mean, we do not talk. We don't engage the media at that time because we have a system where we have a spokesperson that speaks on behalf of new when we have something to report on, especially after our meetings, after we have come up with our findings or report. We have somebody, we have system, you know. But in the air and radio stations, in most of our meetings, we go to the stations, we have airtime, we pay in advance, we go there and talk about the process. It's like everybody know about it. As long as you are in the district, you are in the community, you know about new. We talk about our independence, you know, our neutrality, all of these things, we talk about it, and how we want to observe, the number of observers. We talk all of these things, you know. So it's no hidden secret. People know about us, and in fact, whenever they see the new t-shirts, the people who are like interfering will move off. They move off. They won't come close. Yes. So it's like a deterrent to people who would want to disturb, you know, the process.
Were there any specific things put in place to keep observers from being bought off? Not just the they might have been partisan coming into it, but then that they may be tempted during the process.
Yes, we had supervisors. We had supervisors that would go around to polling stations to ensure that, one, the observers are in their polling stations and that they are doing exactly what they're supposed to do. We also had, coordinators who will go around. For instance, in the first round, 2007, I was in Kailan District. I moved, you know, widely just to ensure that our supervisors, our monitors are around, you know, they are in place. And, you know, in terms of difficulties, challenges, I'll be there to help, you know. And things like that will actually reduce the some of our guys that will want to do otherwise, you know. And unfortunately, in the runoff, I was not there. I was in Freetown, you know, because Francis, our boss, was not here, so I had to be here. And for 2008, we also had supervisors that were around, going around. You know, and we also had our trainings, you know, that was cascaded. We had our TOT. After that, we have our district trainings. We had our chiefdom trainings, you know, cascaded in that manner. And we are all talking about transparency, neutrality, non-partisan, you know. And even our selection criteria. Whosoever they may have seen in party colors jubilating was not going to be recruited. We emphasize on that, you know, in all of the trainings, in our meetings. We do not encourage partisan colors. So if you're a partisan, if you had ever been or one day been in party colors dancing, no, you should not be part of a new. You know, because we didn't want somebody who had been in party colors, who people know in the communities, because we were hiring people from their communities. So if people had seen you in party colors or playing an active part in politics, and the next moment they go, they see you with new t-shirt as an observer, I mean, you'd be even endangering your own life. You know, because people from the other camp can attack you. You know, so we saw all of these dynamics, and we are like advising, and we meant it. We spoke about it at every meeting. That should not be encouraged. At least we wanted to have new to be an institution that is credible, that people can rely on, you know, so we didn't want somebody to smear our good work.
Did you have any attacks on your observers in any of the processes?
No. we did not hear about any, not to my knowledge.
That's great. I want to thank you very much for your time. And if you have any questions, please feel free to contact.
Okay, thank you.